Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show.
Motti was on top form. I really enjoyed the section.
We had a bit of a reminisce, didn't we, about the FA Cup?
Which we very much enjoyed. Tales of commentary and all sorts of interesting things.
Yeah, very good.
We had a chat.
We did. We covered some ground. You told us about a little trip to China you had. It all got a bit weird.
Yeah, no change there.
And I stood up for people when you didn't.
You always do that.
Yeah. So you'll hear all of that. So here it is. Enjoy.
West Ham are considering offering Andy Carroll a pay-as-you-play contract.
Yeah.
That won't cost them much then, will it?
No. Well, I saw this, and it's that classic dichotomy, isn't it, that you think, we've pumped all this money into this guy, and he's been injured most of the time, and it would just be our luck that we let him go. He goes on a free somewhere else and plays a whole season. Well, look, I mean, he would probably admit with the problems he's had before, that's unlikely. But you're always concerned, because you know there's a player there. Everybody knows there's a player, and an excellent player.
Definitely know there's a player.
But he's just been blighted by injury. Yeah. But I think in the end, that's what, you know, as I said, it's very easy to kind of take the mickey. But having spoken to Darren Anderton about that, being called sick note is going to be one of the worst things in the game, because the last thing the player wants is that. So it's really tough on them. Physically and mentally. So we hope Andy Carroll can get back and start playing again.
Oh, absolutely. Victoria Beckham, I think you're going to defend her now as well. Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, probably will, yeah.
Of course you will. Has revealed her latest health fad, drinking water that has been bottled during the hours of the full moon.
I saw this. I was going to say to you today, that, I mean, they must sit round sometimes, the family, with the papers from around the world, involving the kids these days as well. They must just laugh at these stories. She must sit there and say, do they honestly think I will only drink water that's been bottled on a full moon? Are they mad? It's just not true, is it?
It's complete rubbish. The water is said to be charged with the energies of the moon, she said on Instagram. So she is...
Well, she might think it's quite good, but yes. I mean, it's not the only water. If she was in the desert and it wasn't a full moon and it was a matter of life and death, what would she do?
I'm not blaming her, really. I'm blaming the people who are offering this bottle of water. Actually, to be honest, £2.18. It's cheaper than the bottle of water that you get at Stamford Bridge for about £2.60.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And that isn't bottled on a full moon.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't think so. And anyway, she ate clean meals with salmon, spinach and broccoli. Can't be anything wrong with that.
No.
And there you go. So good for her.
Good for her. But yeah, I'm defending her again. Anybody else you want me to stand in their corner?
No. Nick Kyrgios. Go on, try.
No, come on. He's beyond redemption, really, isn't he? Well, having said that... No, he's a troubled soul. And you have to, if you keep doing something like that, you have to question whether somebody needs help. More than being pilloried constantly.
Yes, I think so. But,
I'm on a roll today. It's like thought for the day, isn't it?
I think tennis should throw him out of tennis for about at least 6 months, basically.
Dennis should throw him out of tennis. They should get a bloke called Dennis in charge of tennis.
Should come along and say, we've had enough of your nonsense. You're going to sit down for 6 months and give it some thought.
Both Peter Crouch and Danny Rose have been speaking very eloquently during this mental health awareness week, and it's something we'll come back to with Graham Fowler later on. But I've seen their surnames quite a lot recently. I'm thinking Rose and Crouch. That's a good name. That's a good pub sign, isn't it?
The Rose and Crouch.
Couldn't you see that? You could see Danny and Pete.
It is a very good
thing,
but I think, you know, there is a slight danger with this. You can't, you know, Kyrgios's behaviour, you can't excuse this.
No, you can't.
Whatever grounds it is, you can't start throwing chairs across the of course.
He has anger issues, doesn't he? I think it's fair to say. If you haven't seen this, what did he do? He kicked a bottle, he broke his racket, then he lobbed a chair, WWE style, onto the court. So it's cost him, was it $63,000 or something? A lot of money.
Yeah, ludicrous. Yeah. And did you see that robot wedding photographer?
No, funny enough, I didn't.
You can hire, it was in The Sun, you can hire...
Well, you know, if a robot wants to take photographs of a wedding, why shouldn't it, Andy? You've been very robotist today. I'm just going to keep this theme going.
A couple focus on the future of their wedding by hiring a robot to take pictures. Gary and Megan Barker from Warwickshire became the first to try out Eva, which is the bit I like, which from behind looks like Kate's bridesmaid, Pippa Middleton.
What the robot does?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really. It's got a plastic bottom.
Does the robot do all those things that wedding photographers do? Does it say things like, bring your daughter into the picture? What do you mean? That's your mum? That can't be your mum. She looks too young. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Things robot wedding photographer would say. Can we have the bride's brother? That you can't be. You must, you know, it'd be all those sort of...
I'd like the fact it's a bit of a Dalek.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
I'm sure they'd give it a better voice than that.
No. It's slightly camp Dalek. You like that?
I like that a lot.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's interesting. I mean, we're all very sad Chelsea fans about Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I think even England fans are upset because he was starting to play really, really well. Yeah. But it's interesting how, it's funny how, according to which paper you read, if you read all the tabloids all say out for a year, and all the broadsheets say out for 6 months. So I'm not quite sure which one it might
normally
be.
Normally, Achilles is about 6 months, isn't
I'd
it?
I'd have said 6 to 9 months.
You're splitting the difference. They're saying Hudson-Odoi is likely to sign a new 5-year deal, one or two people have been saying today.
I'm quite pleased about that.
Yeah, that is good news, considering it looked like he was off.
Yeah. I think he sort of proved himself, and I think he realises that Hazard's on his way and it's all there for him, you know, so it'd be fantastic.
To the list of footballers who aren't massively into football, it's weird, isn't it? When you first encounter that, I remember writing for 90 Minutes, I can't even remember the player was, but talking to a player kind of off duty about football, and they had very little interest. They never really watched it. They played it. They happened to be good at it, but they really didn't care. They didn't watch matches.
And then they
go out there
to present the breakfast show here. No.
Very harsh.
No,
he likes his football, Big Alan. Etienne Capoue has said, I don't watch football. I didn't know about the FA Cup even when I was playing in France. I'd never watch four games back to back like some players. Hmm. And it just, you just immediately think, because, you know, you love it, and the fact that they play it, they're people that would settle down and watch a game of football. But I don't know. I mean, if you were an art welder and there was Art Welding Today TV, would you necessarily sit there and you happen to be rather good?
It's my favourite.
And you say, listen, mate, I'm not a real welder. Yeah, I'm sure it is. You'd watch it. If you watch racing, dog racing TV, you'll watch Art Welding Today.
431. I love it. Talking of television, Chris Evans.
There's not a lot of call for arcs really these days, is there? So I know that's not what one is, of course, before you write in. Yep, carry on. Sorry, Andy.
He's very much as you diversify into arc welding. Chris Evans, our own Chris Evans, has given Mary Berry a gong at a food awards. She was crowned TV Personality of the Year.
Well done, Mary.
Yeah, sort of. No disrespect to old Mary.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's not on Bake Off. Yeah. And her own programme, the recipes were just criticised. People were saying, well, how can you make spaghetti bolognese like that?
Well, maybe she was available. Maybe they rung Prue Leith and she couldn't make it. That's how a lot of award ceremonies, you'll be surprised.
Don't give it all away.
You'll be surprised at the way award ceremonies work. Well, we'd absolutely love you to come. Well, I can't come. But if you, listen, I don't say this to me, I've never won anything. But you do, I've heard of this in the past. It really would be worth you coming. They're basically pleading for you to tell them they've won, then they'll turn up.
It's true, yeah. Really, but there you go. Hundreds of thousands of Game of Thrones fans have signed a petition against the final series. They're not happy. They're not happy with it. They don't like it. I mean, oh, grow up. Yeah. It's ridiculous. When you sign a petition, what's anybody going to do about it?
I don't know.
Nobody.
It's a big deal.
A local barber says that Brooks Koepka left him a $800 tip. Did you see this?
Really,
he
did
his,
he?
Had his haircut, obviously. He just go in there for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And he had his haircut, and then Brooks said, oh, thanks very much. I suppose it was about, well, American things are expensive, $100, say.
Yeah.
They gave him an $800 tip.
Well, that's a decent markup, isn't it? Well, his caddy's thinking, yeah, thanks, I normally get about 10%. Yeah.
Yeah, well done to him, though.
Well, yeah, of course. I'll say well done. He just cut somebody's hair. That's his job, by the way. Yeah.
No, I meant well done Brooks rather than well done.
Oh, sorry.
well done, the bloke who.
Not been a
got
great week
tip.
For Leeds sports wise. That continued last night when Leeds got a bit of a shoeing against Castleford. Mm. Blimey, it's an absolutely. They're in a proper relegation fight, Rhinos. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I know. How's it happened?
It often does happen. It's happened a few times, though, in Super League. You know, teams often win it or they'll be high flying and then the. And then the following season, they have a bit of a mare, but I believe they've got it's Magic Weekend, isn't it, coming up? They've got London Broncos near, vying for bottom place with Broncos. That's a huge game now. And talking rugby league.
And the Catalan one's going to be interesting tomorrow.
Big game tomorrow, isn't it? Wigan playing the Catalans at the Nou Camp. And a game that would probably get about 8,000 people is going to get about 30 tomorrow, which is a decent turnout. They'll be rattling around a bit in the stadium.
That's the only problem.
But it's a great thing, isn't it? 30,000 will be pretty impressive.
Great if the Wigan fans are sitting in the place where they put the football fans.
Yeah, right up in the gods, right up on the roof.
Even there's still plenty of
room.
They
won't do that to them.
No, of course they won't.
Think so.
Something reminded me this week of something that we used to do on the show quite a lot, but it's changed. And this was a story about some baby food that has been recalled because some bits of blue rubber glove, often in the manufacturing process.
Like, definitely recall that.
Yeah, can recall it. It's Cow and Gate cheesy broccoli bake, in case you...
Well, I've got loads. I eat loads of that. Yeah.
But do you remember in the old days, and we used to call it... We used to say we were going to have our own magazine called Product Recall, because they used to put it on the sports pages.
Product Recall's always on the racing, normally on the racing page.
On the racing page. And we figured, well, maybe it's cheaper to advertise and put it there than it is in the bulk of the paper. But what happens... Well, it's fine for people to talk sport because they'll have known about it. But if you didn't like sport...
If you didn't like sport, you wouldn't know.
So as a public service announcement, I used to read them out.
You did, yeah. It was very good of you.
Very good of me. But
I always said to you it was never going to make a magazine because who would buy a... I mean, you'd have to be massively paranoid to buy a weekly or monthly magazine that was just Product Recalls on the basis you felt you might have a product that need recalling. You have to be really, really down on yourself,
wouldn't you really?
Oh, I definitely bought something that needs recalling. I'll pick it up again. I'll resubscribe.
And did you read the story about the woman who bought a chicken dinner in Iceland?
Yeah.
And it had...
It's a long way to go, isn't it?
Well, it is, really. A bird's head was found amongst the Iceland chicken wings. Yeah. This can happen again.
Is it some kind of bird mafia hit?
Well...
Is that what it was?
I remember driving in China once. I was on a Chinese motorway.
Were you really?
And we stopped off at the service station. And there was this, you could buy this tin of chicken, and it had the head on it, the whole thing. And I said to my son, that looks a bit...
So, sorry, it was a single chicken in a tin?
Single chicken in a tin, full head, full claws.
The whole thing, basically, just a chicken...
It was a whole chicken in a tin.
Yeah, okay. Has it been defeathered?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, what do you mean, of course? It's got everything else on.
Well, it was a whole
pair of hobnail boots and an overcoat.
It was edible. It was a whole edible chicken.
Had it been cooked?
Been cooked, yeah.
And cooked then chicken in a tin.
I think you could either have it cold or heat it up. I don't speak Chinese, but I'm guessing, by the picture of it.
Yeah.
The beak and the head.
Was it a big tin? Or had it been
chicken size, funnily enough.
Chicken shaped?
Yeah, it was a massive tin with a small chicken in it. No, it was about the size of a chicken.
But it obviously hadn't been sort of rolled and trussed and all the other stuff
with
a chicken.
No, it was lengthwise.
It was a big long tin.
It was a long chicken.
Big long tin.
What a great conversation.
Don't sell your big long tin material.
The producer's coming. He's quite worried.
Yeah. Well, don't blame him.
Sorry about this, Tom.
Yeah. Did you have one?
No.
Oh, well, what's after all that?
Well, because I'm about to get to that point.
Okay.
The horrified mum of two said, it was disgusting.
Was there a horrified mum of two in there as well? In China?
Exactly. When I saw it, I nearly threw up. I haven't eaten meat since. It's really put me off. And I was thinking...
Sandy, it's a good day they brought out the... Ginsters have brought out the vegan Cornish pasty today, so it's made her day.
Well, would have made her day. But you think that's a bit daft, really. Where do you think chicken comes from? You know, they do have heads. It's a bit daft, really.
There we are, breaking news.
I'm not eating meat now.
Breaking news there for anyway. Chickens do have heads.
I may have a picture of the... I remember taking a photo of it, and I will... Look through my during the next break.
I just want to see how long the tin is.
Yeah, I'll see if
I'm really interested now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us now, man synonymous with the FA Cup and especially the final as well, of course, our very own John Motson. Hi, John.
Now then, what are you going to ask me about tomorrow?
Well, we're going to come back to that because I know you're going, but I'm interested to kind of take you right back, really, because people wouldn't realise we're so used to live football on the telly these days. We take it as read. And you've been a commentator on the BBC for 6 years by the time you did your first live game, the 77 Cup final.
Correct. Absolutely.
It's amazing. I think isn't it?
There wasn't any live football. Apart from the Cup final and the odd European final, if an English team were involved, everything else was highlights. You know, match of the day Saturday night, ITV regions on Sunday afternoon. Mm. That was the kind of method that football used to get itself... And, of course, at the time, the Football League were very nervous about live games. They thought it would keep the crowds away.
Yeah.
And, of course, subsequently, it's proved not to be the case.
And Sports Tonight with Coleman, don't forget that.
Yeah, thank you. Not live games, though.
No, but again, they were recorded highlights.
So, can you remember, John, that proud moment when you were first told you'd be getting the Cup final?
Well, I can remember it. I think it was more a very nervous moment in some ways because it was a really kind of tense occasion because a lot of people didn't expect me to get it, and I went through a phase really of thinking, is this going to be so different to all the recorded games I've done? And I just remember sitting with Jimmy Hill in the commentary box at Wembley and thinking, oh, now can I get through this, you know? So it probably wasn't as good a commentary as it... Well, it certainly wasn't as good a commentary as it would have, as should have been, but I don't think I quite enjoyed it as much as I should have because I was so on edge.
Was it a two-hander, Motty? So when you say Jimmy Hill, because I thought that was a new thing, you and Trevor Brooking and stuff like that.
We had one microphone, and David Coleman, David Coleman, who was my predecessor on the Cup final, said to me, "Whatever you do, only give it to Jimmy when there's an injury, because he would have gone on talking." And what's more, Jimmy had a secret desire to find himself with the microphone when a goal was scored. and there was an international, just digressing for a few seconds, there was an international at Wembley between England and Scotland, and I was commentating, and I gave Jimmy Hill the mic, and before I could get it back, there was an attack, and Trevor Francis put the ball in the net. And I thought, oh, no. He's had his moment. And then I looked up, linesman's flag. Sorry, Jim.
Oh, dear.
Disallowed.
I mean, the other thing was, you're doing your first live commentary and, you know, you're doing all the build-up, Abide With Me, all that stuff, the colour stuff, before and after the Cup final. It's a huge responsibility. Well, you know the whole country's watching, don't you?
That's right. I mean, the commentator used to go on the air at about, it was 3 o'clock kickoff, as you said. Yeah. The commentator would start at, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, we'd do the crowd scenes, the guests in the Royal Box, all the preamble, you know, that you could think of, and connections between the two clubs. It was absolutely flat out in that period. The one thing that that first one, I got off the hook a little bit because I'd read in a magazine the week before that there were 39 steps from the pitch to the Royal Box where they collect the cup, and of course the Manchester United captain was Buchan.
Yeah, perfect.
So you know it just fitted beautifully. Well. I say beautifully, it probably wasn't at all. But I was able to say how appropriate a man called Buchan should climb the 39 steps.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, John Buchan wrote 39...
We're with you on this. People at home going,
I was thinking of young, I know, I was thinking of younger listeners who maybe hadn't read the book.
Of course, it was Martin Buchan, wasn't it?
Martin Buchan was the Man United captain. Yeah. So that was it, really.
I was also going to say that you shared the coverage with ITV, but of course BBC always used to totally outrate, didn't they? Sort of, you know. But how, did you ever speak to Brian Moore, who would have been the commentator at the time?
We had a private lunch before the cup final.
Oh, really?
Because we were so determined to steer clear of all the hostility, I would even use that word, in the 70s, as to who was going to get on the team coach, which team, who was going to get the FA Cup on the air first afterwards, who was going to get the first interview. I mean, it was really fierce rivalry between the two terrestrial outlets. Admittedly, as Andy says, the BBC always seemed to get a higher audience figure, but while the preparations were going on, it was tooth and nail. So Brian and I found a quiet restaurant in London and we just sat down and chatted about our preparation and let them get on with it, really.
We hear this week, John, it's not been confirmed that ITV could well be back into the FA Cup, bringing the... So we're going to have that head-to-head again.
Well, we are in a way, but I'm delighted about that because I think the FA Cup deserves to be on free-to-air. And the BBC has been sharing it, as you know, well, with BT latterly. ITV, who are probably in need of a bit more football at the moment, to be fair, I think they will come in and you'll see massive... nationwide exposure for the FA Cup that it hasn't had for some time.
Yeah.
And I'm quite delighted. I don't think we'll get down to fisticuffs on the pitch with ITV like they did in the 60s, no. But it's great. You know, it'll be good rivalry.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
John Watson with us in the studio. We've been reliving great moments in the FA Cup final of the past. We're going to just do our favourite moments. I'll kick off with mine. This is my favourite Motti commentary moment. I was behind the goal when this went in, and so I only enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a million times since, but you can probably guess what it is.
And now Galvin. Spurs have got two to his right, and Galvin wants to go on his own. Villa. And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run! He scored! Amazing goal! By Ricky Villa! The big man from Argentina went round 1, 2, 3. Joe Corrigan came to block and Villa squeezed it in.
Still Ricky Villa, Motti. Just three words in Tottenham folklore.
I think his book came out with that as the title. Yeah. It still sends shivers down my spine, that, actually, because it was an amazing finish. The first ever cup final replayed at Wembley on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And it was also the 100th FA Cup final. I mean, it was all set up. And Villa, of course, had been substituted on the Saturday.
Yeah, maybe walking, disconsolately walking around the pitch.
Story, that.
Yeah.
I love Garth Crooks in that moment when he... does that
he thing. Goes past him.
Yeah.
But he does that thing with his foot to make him, you know...
I was the bloke shouting, pass, Ricky, pass. So what do I know? Andy's favourite moment, then. This is another great...
I mean, I'd say the 70, but...
For the Motti commentary.
For the Motti commentary, here we go. This was a great moment.
Now, the first sign of Chelsea on the attack with Di Matteo. Oh, and a good run up front by Hughes, and Di Matteo shoots! Oh, what about this? What about this? It's possibly the quickest ever goal in a Wembley Cup final. Roberto Di Matteo inside 45 seconds. This could be an historic moment in cup finals at Wembley.
It was the return to prominence, really, for Chelsea after all those years at a cup final.
Yeah, it was brilliant. 43 seconds, I think it was, in the end, they decided when they timed it. You did well to gauge that it
was
45.
Well, I was trying to find a stopwatch.
Yeah, but you did really well.
To be honest, somebody reminded me the other day, that's already been beaten, Sahar of Everton.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course.
Scored a quicker one.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So those are the records. You know, I waited all that time as a commentator because the previous record had been something like Jackie Milburn in 1955, you know, and at last one came along, but it's gone now.
But it was great because in 94 we'd been sort of humiliated by United rain, and that was
a great day. Have you got a favourite, John? Have you got a standout favourite FA Cup final?
I think my standout favourite is Dave Besson's penalty save.
Right.
Because for once in my life, I'd actually found out something which really helped me a lot when it happened. I spoke to Dave Besson during the week before the Liverpool game. If you remember, John Aldridge was taking penalties with a kind of a contentious style where he stopped in his run-up.
Yeah.
And so I rang Dave Besson, who I knew few days before the final and said, what are you going to do if you have to face a penalty from Aldridge with the way he's stopping? And Besant said, I don't care what he does, I'm going to dive to my left.
Wow.
And I got this into the commentary just before they took the kick, fortunately, and he did dive to his left and he did save it.
Brilliant.
And it was the first time a penalty had been saved in Wembley days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the end of that game. Yeah, it's a fantastic, iconic line at the end of the game. Let's bring you that now.
Sanchez caught Young and Fashanu in there. And Sanchez was in there, and that's a goal for Wimbledon. Laurie Sanchez. And there it is. The crazy gang have beaten the Culture Club. Wimbledon have destroyed Liverpool's dreams of the double. And all over the pitch, their players are celebrating something which a few years ago would have been impossible.
You admitted you had Buckingham 39 yes. steps up your sleeve. But
yes, no, not the crazy gang, I didn't, no. Right. No, that just came out spontaneously.
What's brilliant about that line, so good about it, is that it contains two references, one very old and one very current.
As it was then, that's
true.
Because,
I mean, you explained stuff earlier. I mean, the crazy gang were a sort of pre...
Music hall act.
Flanagan and Allen and all that. And Culture Club, of course, were hottest band at the time, really. So it
was, Boy George.
Boy George.
That's right.
Yeah,
fantastic. So, look, let's look ahead to tomorrow. You're going to be there, John.
Yes.
And, you know, everything that's gone on in the last few weeks in football makes you feel that, yeah, Watford have got a puncher's chance. But it's going to be so tough, isn't it? I mean, you heard from Vincent Kompany earlier on. Mm. They got their game face on City. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs Manchester City to play well below their best and Watford to play at their absolute best for the shock result to happen. But who's to say it can't after all the football we've seen recently?
Yeah.
City, of course, chasing this treble. Raheem Sterling will be the man that Watford are worried about because he scored a hat-trick against them in one of the league games this season, apart from anything else he's done this season, which is a lot. I just feel, having seen Watford last Sunday, I think the one player who I think could trouble City is Deulofeu.
Yeah, he's back. He's got over that dead leg.
Because he likes the big
yeah.
occasion. He was the match winner in the semi-final.
It was brilliant.
He can take players on. He's not fazed by the occasion or by the opposition. And I suppose, I don't know, we don't know what the... I think he'll definitely play up front with Deeney. I think that'll be a given. I'm not sure about De Bruyne playing for City, but he has been injured, hasn't he? But he's still got a lot in the tank because he hasn't had that many games.
Yeah.
And so I'm naming players who I think could be match winners. But if you're asking me for a neutral's kind of sensible view on the game, I've got to say, well, most people would expect City to win.
Yeah, yeah.
But then football isn't all, as we've heard from the guy playing. I mean, that Wimbledon were actually in the old first division then. They weren't still a lower division. They were about where Watford are now.
Sure, yeah.
So, and Manchester City could be compared to the way Liverpool played their football back in the 80s.
That's true.
So we've almost got a comparison to sort of bite on in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope it's close. I hope it's it's a good game because for the neutral, you don't want to see a City score early and they go 2-0 up then. Yeah. It won't be much.
I think set pieces could be important. You know, Deeney can cause problems. They've got to make... I mean, again, it's going to be a game of few chances. They've just got to make the best of it.
And always do struggle. You heard Pep saying after that last game that every time... I think it was actually after the Burnley game, that every time the ball... They had to defend a set piece, he was praying because he knows they're such a small team and he feels in the transfer window they're going to have to adjust that they need some taller players.
Certainly Deeney will be out to bully the two City centre-backs. There's no doubt about that. I don't think Watford will be fazed by the occasion.
No.
I think they're perfectly capable of producing a performance as they had to do when they came back from two down in the semi.
Yeah. Elton's not going to be there. No. But the kids are going to be there.
Yeah, the two boys are going to be mascots. I mean, Elton's in Denmark, isn't he, on his world tour?
Yeah.
What a review his film's had this morning.
Sounds great,
Rocket
isn't it?
Man,
does,
I must see that.
Does sound good.
Yeah. I didn't come in determined to plug that, by the way. It was only you mentioning Elton.
I'm a Elton John fan.
I hope he's listening. That'd be fantastic.
I was sure he'd be chuffed with the reviews today,
Yeah, it's been great. We should quickly, because we are running out of time, just say especially for your son, who's a big Derby fan, and I'm sure you were watching too. What a great occasion, what a great moment for him and
he's
for all the fans.
He's got some negotiating to do because he's a new dad, isn't he?
Yeah, but he is going to go to the playoff final. Right. Don't worry about that. I just, while we're on that subject, of course, Charlton tonight, trying to get... Well, should beat Doncaster. Well, they're 2-1 up away from home. Yeah. They're playing at home. And that would give us a Charlton-Sunderland playoff final. Oh. Do you remember the 4-4?
Yeah, Mickey Gray is not going
over
it.
All the penalties.
He tells us. Yeah, it's true. It was an incredible game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Thanks for downloading us. We return next week. Among our guests in the studio, our old mate Frank Skinner.
Good.
We'll be here. He's touring and playing Edinburgh, isn't he?
Frank Skinner.
Our old Frank Skinner. That's it, yeah. So until then, have a great weekend. Enjoy the FA Cup final.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.